What's going on, Clips heads?
Ooh.
We're coming at you live from Florida.
We're in Delray Beach.
Beautiful Delray Beach.
This is going to be posted on Saturday. We have some technical difficulties tonight on Friday, so this will be a special Saturday edition
of
Locked On Clippers.
You know, we come at you Monday through Friday, but sometimes we bring the heat on Saturdays, too.
Yeah, sometimes we have technical difficulties.
Anyways, in case you didn't know, I'm William the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
And we're Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network. And we got a heck of a show lined up for you today on location.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to kick things off with a recap of the Clippers-Lakers game.
Ooh, tough one.
You got to stay positive.
I am.
And then we're going to be previewing the Pistons versus Clippers game.
Yep.
Which is coming up tomorrow. It'll be today, probably, by the time you're listening to the podcast. And then we're going to be previewing a little bit of the Raptors game Sunday. A little bit.
Because we
got to make time for our Friday segments, which are the Pacific Division Power Rankings, and then, of course, everyone's favorite segment.
Love, Mary, Kill.
So all that and more coming up right about now.
Yeah, so the fantastic game of basketball played last night between the Clippers and the Lakers. Some questionable officiating, some underperforming.
Real questionable officiating.
It didn't lose us the game, but it didn't help us. We lost in overtime 120 to 123. Everyone who was supposed to be injured played for every team.
Yeah. I mean, except for Gallo. Or Luke.
So some quick stats for you guys. Lou Will led us in scoring with 24 points. Patrick Beverley had 17 and 8. Tobias had 15, 8 and 8 with a couple of clutch buckets we'll get to later. And Boban had a very efficient 11 and 5 in just 13 minutes.
He was
the game changer.
He was so effective.
For the Lakers, LeBron put up 24, 14 and 9 on apparently not a 100% groin, which is terrifying.
That's absurd.
Rondo had 14, 13 and 7.
Yeah, continuing the trend of averaging more than 11 assists per game since he's been back from injury.
I think he had 13 boards.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Well, he's a loser now. So.
And then Lance Stephenson had 20 off the bench. I mean, as we kind of expected, this one was close for most of the way.
It was frustrating, but it was also a fun game of basketball to
watch.
That's
a perfect way to describe it. We were at Crawford's. It weirdly got too busy, so it was kind of difficult to watch part of the game. But it felt like every time a good thing would happen for us, like one and a half good things would happen for the Lakers. I'm not saying like in a favoritism type way, just play style way.
Yeah, no, I agree. And the fouls, mainly just the Lance Stephenson one at the end, which we can unpack a little bit more later. But I mean, obviously the biggest issue was, well, the two biggest issues were we sucked defensively.
And free throws. Astonishingly.
I was stunned as to what one to put over the other.
Astonishingly, the Lakers shoot around like 60% as a team for free throws. They shot 80% last night. We shot 53% from the line.
Yeah, and wasn't it as low as 40 at one point?
Yeah. Uncharacteristically horrific night from the line.
Awful.
The worst night from the line we've had. Lou missed an and one with a minute left in the fourth.
Oh, yeah.
He also missed a technical shot with 24 seconds left in OT.
Yeah.
I don't know what...
Tobias missed two clutch ones.
I don't know what was going on. It was insane. Another crazy thing, we took 43 threes in this game.
That was great.
I think it was the second most we've taken as a franchise.
That was great. But it's not that encouraging because their defense was also bad.
Yeah. The Lakers shot 42% from deep. They took 26. We took 43. We only made 14. We only shot 32% from three. Jerome went 1 of 6 from deep.
Still looked impactful, though.
Had a great block.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the defense, like...
He was still, like... And he was getting in there still kind of in clutch minutes, like end of quarters and stuff.
For sure. Overall, the defense, I think you're totally right. We sent them to the line too much.
Yeah.
I mean,
and it was just soft. It was either like there was no in between, you know. It's like we talk about sometimes on this, like if you want to have that pesky defensive thing, that's great, but not if you're in foul trouble.
Yeah. And so in the early on, they were kind of letting them play.
Yeah.
Like we had some active hands, which was great. And we looked like we were kind of really going to be that annoying defensive team. But then it just, I mean, part of it was Lance was huge off the bench for them.
Definitely.
Which was annoying.
Definitely.
LeBron played fantastic.
He hit, slow start, but he really picked up steam there.
He hit big shots against us. Our average defensive rating was 109.
Not great.
The weird thing is, though, looking at the stats, we won points in the paint.
Mm-hmm.
Like, We did. I believe we got out-rebounded 56-51. It felt worse than that.
Yeah.
It just seemed like...
Yeah, there were times...
I don't know, man. It was a really frustrating game.
There were times during the stretch where maybe that's like the thing where it's like clutch rebounds versus overall numbers.
For sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where it really felt like especially they were getting, you know, second and third chance opportunities where we weren't able to really kind of cinch down on the offensive glass.
Another thing that really, I'm going to say the third pillar of defeat that got us was not capitalizing on turnovers.
Oh, yeah.
We only had 8 turnovers.
That's great.
They had 16.
Wow.
They beat us in points off of turnovers.
That's absurd.
17-13.
That's absurd.
That's in a game when we're so evenly matched talent-wise. Obviously, LeBron is better than anyone on the Clippers. But after that,
yeah,
it's pretty even.
The one advantage I will say to them in those situations is that they really have the speed and length to be good on the fast break.
I agree with that.
I like defending the fast break. You know what I mean?
But still, man, we had... they had twice as many turnovers.
I don't want to sound like I'm making excuses here. I'm just saying.
We handled their length and size pretty well.
We really did.
A lot better than I thought we were
going to. I mean, given 8 turnovers, you know, I feel like that's great.
I mean, Patrick Beverley was active.
Definitely.
On the defensive end. Avery Bradley hit some threes early. We can talk about Tobias. He didn't have the strongest second half in terms of aggressiveness.
Yeah. I guess I got to take a little bit of umbrage with that, though, because I feel like... Sure, there were flaws.
Now that
sure.
we're in Florida, you're using fancy words like umbrage.
Sure, he's not a perfect player. But, man, he made some impactful plays.
He hit the
game.
He hit the three that sent the game to overtime.
All game, he made some impactful plays, except for...
In overtime.
Yeah.
He took one shot.
Yes. Yeah.
That's not good.
Disappeared in overtime.
Disappeared in overtime. The Shea situation was concerning.
Yeah, so you were real heated about this. Do you want to preface this with anything?
I was going off, I would say, respectfully on Twitter.
I would say we were trying to walk somewhere and you kept stopping. You were so mad. So madly tweeting at things.
So all of Shea had a great first half.
Yeah.
He played great. He was scoring on LeBron James.
And his playmaking... He looked
phenomenal.
Will
you pull up the stats real quick? Sorry.
Yeah, he looked phenomenal.
He had 0 turnovers. So if you didn't watch the game, what I'm about to tell you is going to shock you. He played 5 minutes in the third, and that was his total minutes in the second half.
Yeah.
He got no overtime minutes. He got no fourth quarter minutes. Why?
It makes no sense.
He was playing well. This was the biggest letdown to me on this game was this kid.
He finished with 10-2-3 in 21 minutes.
I don't know what you got.
21 minutes in an overtime game.
In which he only played 5 minutes in the second half.
It's insane.
I don't understand what he has to do to earn the trust to play in crunch time.
Yeah, I really don't either.
We're expecting this kid to kind of be our cornerstone point guard, which having a great point guard who is a franchise player on a rookie contract is huge.
And the point I was trying to make last night is these are the most important minutes you could play.
Yeah.
These are the most important minutes you could ever get. Like, you don't ever play at this level at high school or AAA or
you're not
college
playing Clippers versus Lakers. Like
a game that's going into overtime or very close.
Very important for the playoff race.
Yeah. And even if we lose in that situation, if the game doesn't go to overtime, he got those reps.
And he gets a chance to show what he can do in that crunch time. Like
100%.
Even if he would have failed, the opportunity to fail has to be there.
Well, yeah, definitely. The opportunity to fail has to be there, and like you have to get that experience.
I mean, Jerome got it, Sendarius got it. Like, that was the most frustrating thing of this game overall.
It's absurd.
We can move on. Let's talk about the refereeing for like 2 minutes.
Yeah, all right.
So one of the biggest things that happened in this game, there's like 40 seconds left, something like that. Lance Stephenson is going up for a layup with his right hand. He's leading with his left elbow, and he clocks
Boban so hard.
One of the squarest elbows to the jaw. I don't think he meant to elbow him in the jaw specifically. I think he was just leading with his elbow.
Yeah.
I don't think there was any...
I don't know. The elbow does come back.
It does come back.
Once again, though, I don't think that he was trying to like be flagrant or even trying to like...
No.
I think that it's like a instinctual body thing.
Absolutely.
You're trying to push somebody away, but at the same time, that's an elbow to the face.
Exactly. So it should have been a flagrant one.
I mean, he shouldn't have gotten a foul shot off of it at the very least.
Yeah, and that was the other part. He got the and one. they reviewed it and they just said it was fine. And then, of course, the last 2 minute report or whatever comes out today that says there was a mistake.
Yeah.
Which means nothing to us.
Thank you.
I hate the last 2 minute report. Who cares?
Yeah.
That was such a fresh. Someone also pointed out on Twitter that was one of those refs that was their first, I believe, either primetime or NBA game.
Fired. No, I'm just kidding. I'm sure they all
fire that guy. That was really frustrating. That's not an excuse for the loss. It really didn't help us. But then it went to overtime, and in overtime, the whole team kind of looked like they got socked in the face.
Yeah. Fired, but that guy should have to wear a Boban jersey to like the next couple games while he's reffing.
We looked a little wonky in the overtime period. We went 3 of 8. They went 4 of 7.
Yeah, we did not look good in
overtime. Just felt a little deflated in overtime.
I don't think that there was, other than Lou Will, just no one was really leading the charge. And they, like, their defense started trapping so aggressively.
They were playing well.
Because they knew that he wouldn't have opportunities to really pass out.
Yeah.
And that, like, nobody else was being aggressive enough to really make anything happen.
Only one guy to get over 20 is rough any night, especially against the Lakers. But hey, we're on to the Pistons.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, technically today, because we're posting it on Saturday.
Let's not get caught up in this.
coming out of this break, a very quick Clippers versus Pistons preview. All right. So we got an easier game, hopefully.
I'm actually a little bit nervous about this.
Oh, God. Don't say that to me, man. So we're playing the Pistons at what, noon tomorrow?
Yes.
It's another terrible noon game.
We narrow lost last time, 103-109.
Blake went off.
Blake
had the game of his life.
Really went off. And it seems like since then, I don't want to say that Blake's team has given up.
Oh, they don't care about it. I don't know what they're doing. They do not care
about basketball. You've seen the clip.
Oh, I've seen it by now. He's talking about how terrible the game is, how they need to be focused.
Yeah.
And Reggie Jackson is just like interrupts it and is clowning.
Yeah.
Yeah, Blake.
And Blake looks, I just like, it's so crazy how much more of a veteran he looks like now. Like
very good
one year removed from the Clippers, and he's got
that beard.
He just looks like a vet now, like a grizzly vet, and I love it. I kind of feel bad for Blake right now.
I do too, I think.
He was recently asked by an interviewer how it feels playing in an empty stadium.
What an awful question.
Such an awful question. He said, well, you know, people told me to somehow not take my draft with the Clippers.
Oh, yeah.
And when I started playing there, it was half empty stadiums. So he's like a little bit similar to that. You know, like I hope that I'm building something. I like how positive he's being. And he's
trying.
He's making the best. I hope good things for him.
Yeah. We hope we stomp his ass.
That being said, we're going to kick his teeth in.
So let's get some keys to victory.
Yeah.
Stop Blake seems to be the one key for me.
That's going to be huge. Yeah. I think, all right, so here's my thing, is that we have a lot less offensive output, obviously due to Gallo gone.
Agreed.
He wasn't enough to get us over the hump last time. So I think we got to save some of that energy on the defensive end.
You think we got to kind of grind this one out?
A little bit, yeah. I think that we, you know, we can't let them be getting any second chance opportunities.
Definitely.
And we got to be, like, obviously they're going to be able to dominate us. Interior
rebounds
defense
is almost a foregone conclusion.
Yeah, and they're a much bigger team, but we got to make them work for it. Like
for
we got to
sure.
we got to expend energy on that side to do the best we can. To like it's going to be really hard for our forwards and you know quote unquote centers to match up with Drummond and Blake.
Yeah, if they're out on the court at the same time, it's going to be kind of tough to watch.
I'll say bench play beautifully.
Bench play is going to be huge. We crushed them last time, 56-16.
It's absurd.
Which is great. Trez and Luke combined for 43. Ty Wall, who I guess
doesn't really play for
the Clippers anymore, had 10. I think Jerome's going to have a good game.
Yeah, how do you think Jerome could do this
game? I
think
he's going to bounce back. I think he's going to shoot 50% from three.
I think
on probably like 4 attempts, but still.
I'm fine. I say let him keep shooting. I would have let him take 12 shots that night.
Yeah, I hope Jerome gets some time. He does look aggressive. He's really decisive, which is nice.
I think that he's going to look great against. They have kind of a paper thin like their upper talent is better than ours, I guess, qualitatively right now.
I would. Yeah, Blake is the best player on the court right now.
Yeah,
in this game.
And then you know Drummond is obviously probably the best center on the court.
Yeah, that's
it's pretty high up there.
Yeah, and then I think we have the advantage.
Yeah,
everywhere
like,
else,
like depth wise,
100%.
Hundred percent.
Bev and Brad are going to have to be consistent.
Yeah, yeah. So that's like last time they combined for 6-3-4.
That's not good.
With four fouls.
Hey.
So, you know, they got that going. But lately, both of them have been playing so much better. You know, even when Beverly hasn't been having like the greatest numbers or the greatest shooting percentage, he looks so impactful.
He had eight boards again last night. It's pretty incredible.
So what could go wrong for this?
What happened last time could go wrong.
Yeah.
And the thing that's scary is that like I'm not necessarily sure there's any reason to believe that something close to it won't happen again.
Won't happen again. I mean, we'll get into it in key matchups, but last time, obviously, Blake went off for 44, and Drummond added a monster 21-20. So
yeah, that could be tough. Kind of just touching off of the game against the Lakers, Ingram kind of did whatever he wanted. He had 19-4-4.
Yeah.
So lengthy guys bother us.
Definitely. And he's not even big.
He's not big.
He's like a shooting guard.
Yeah. It was frustrating to watch. But yeah, I'm not sure who matches up with... We'll get into this in matchups, but I'm worried again about who's going to guard who.
Definitely.
Down low. What's this Glenn Robinson note you got in here?
So, what about this? This one's a little out there, as you know we like to get. So, what if Glenn Robinson III, bench player for the Pistons, tries to convince Jerome that he's his brother, borrows some money from him?
And then
never even given it back.
But that's just a thing that could go wrong.
I would get in his head.
Yeah, I mean that could go wrong.
And then the rest of the Clippers would be like, I don't know, man, you lend money to your brother? We don't know if we trust you.
That is a thing that could go wrong. I will agree that that is something that could go wrong. I hope that doesn't happen. I think last time we were kind of ridiculing what could go wrong against the Pistons,
and then
they beat us.
They lost.
Yeah. So this is a good note. Tobias needs to be big this game.
Yeah.
If they can't fill that hole from Gallo, I just don't want to be playing catch-up again. Against the Lakers, it made a little more sense because it's an evenly matched team. They have LeBron James.
Definitely.
But against this Pistons team, it's like, man, we play the Raptors on Sunday. We need this win.
Yeah.
This is now all of a sudden a pretty big game.
Yeah, we don't want to go down another, four straight?
Yeah, goddamn.
So Reggie Bullock was also really effective last game from three. Yep. And I think if they're able to stretch the floor, like on top of being so dominant on the inside, it's going to be a really hard night.
If Blake's hitting from the long two range again,
yeah,
and Bullock is on, it's going to be tough. Let's do some key matchups.
Let's do it. Bench first, everybody.
Yeah, the bench is the
honestly,
most important
our
part.
Bench is going to have to shine. Like, this is not a great matchup for us,
no.
Galilis.
Absolutely not.
Not a great matchup.
I hope we see some Ty Wall.
Yeah.
Just because it's just so hard because I like your point about saving our energy for the defense.
Yeah.
But also, it's like, if we can get some scorers in there, we're going to have to pad the lead.
Definitely. Well, I think I think it'll be especially important for the starters on that end.
Yeah. I don't want them to play too much, given we have to play freaking Raptors the next day. Drummond and Blake versus Gortat and Boban?
Yeah, so last time Boban and Motley were both DNPs. Do you think we see those guys?
I think we'll see Boban. I'm not sure about Motley. I think Motley's too small. If Drummond and Griffin are at the four and the five, obviously Blake at the four.
Yeah.
Motley can't be out there. I think both those guys eat him alive body-wise in the post on defense.
I was just thinking maybe starting lineup you got, maybe not starting, but you tinker with a lineup that's Trez at the four, Boban at the five, and then you have Motley running the four, we'll call it the five on whatever the second lineup is.
Oh, that'd be interesting. Yeah. I just think anytime Blake or Drummond is not out there, have Motley out there.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how much that's going to happen, though, because they're going to need both those guys out there.
Most likely it'll be Trez out there anytime those guys aren't out there, and he'll be able to have a good night.
I like this Tobias one.
Oh, yeah. Tobias versus the Max.
Yeah.
So he finished with 11-10-2 last outing, which is not going to cut the mustard for a dub.
That's not going to happen.
Saturday.
Yeah. But I want him to take what happened against the Lakers and use that for a 25-10 game.
He had a really solid game. Would like to see it go all the way to OT, but I have the note in here. He'll need to be aggressive if he doesn't want to be a Knick next year.
Yeah, I think he's going to get that max offer from him. Lou and Trez versus the five ghosts or whoever is on the Pistons bench. These two guys are the most important players for us tomorrow.
Absolutely. They came today. They put together 43 points combined last time,
yeah,
which was I can't calculate how much of the bench scoring was. Needed 43 of 56 points was attributed to them.
Shea, you want Shea on the bench.
I said Shea versus the bench.
Oh, versus the bench, excuse me.
So I don't even mind dropping this game.
Oh, okay, I do.
But I want Shea to play more than 17 minutes. It's actually more important to me to see Shea. He played less than 17 minutes last time when we played the Pistons.
Yeah.
I like this matchup for Shea.
I want to see backcourt,
I think he'll be able to thrive. Obviously, it'll be a little bit harder for him to drive to the rim, but I think from an assist standpoint, like, nobody is really going to be able to guard him.
That'd be fantastic. I hope he gets a bunch of minutes, too. What's your prediction for this game?
Oh, man, it's so tough to say. If we grind it out defensively like I really want to do, I'm hoping that it's 100 to 109 Clippers.
9-point win. I like it. I'm saying Clippers 115, Pistons 106.
Okay.
So I guess another 9-point win, but we just get a little hot.
You're going higher scoring.
Going a little higher scoring.
Which I like.
We're going to do, like, I don't know, like a 2-minute preview of the Raptors game.
So just a quick heads up. Second night of a back-to-back.
Second night of a back-to-back
for
us.
They haven't played since they lost on, Thursday?
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
They lost to the Bucks.
Yeah, so
they're
going to be
no longer top in the East. They are...
they're going to be mad. I don't think it's going to go well for us.
I don't either.
I think we're going to lose maybe about by 15 points.
Yeah, I think it might be a hearty loss.
We're going to... Sorry for the very short preview, but we're going to have a really big recap of that game for you guys. Coming up after this ad, we're going to do in our Pacific Division rankings and Love, Mary, Kill. But first, if you're following multiple Locked On podcasts, check out Locked On Net on Twitter and Instagram. It aggregates them all into one area, which is nice. Bunch of info on the stories. Stay tuned for the NBA trade deadline because something tells me more insane things are going to happen.
Oh, yeah. Now that the Anthony Davis stuff is up in the air, chips are falling everywhere.
Again, that is Locked On Net on Twitter and Instagram. So, welcome to the Pacific Division rankings.
Ayo.
We have the same rankings.
Okay.
Warriors won.
Yeah, man. Until they lost that game, they had won, 9 or 11 straight?
I think it was 10. Lakers, cool. Hobbled LeBron had to come back.
You know what? And this is so temporary. Like, this is so short-lasting.
You're so mad
about
this.
No, it's just because of this win last night. I do have to give them a nod. Way to go, guys.
And then the Clippers. We're in a bit of a rough patch right now.
Man, we've had a couple of rough losses. Going down another four-game losing streak.
Yeah, we need to get that win against the Pistons.
It'd be really tough.
Sister Kings,
who I wish were going to make a little bit more noise before the trade deadline. If they really wanted to make a playoff push.
They might.
I'll believe it when I see it.
And then the Lowly Suns.
What have you done?
Pacific Division. We got a Pacific Division party at the bottom of the playoff race right now.
Yeah.
8-9-10 is Clippers, Lakers, Kings.
Yeah.
Who's going to make it? All right. Should we do this Love, Marry, Kill?
Let's do it.
I like this one.
So for Love, Marry, Kill this week, we're doing expansion team possibilities.
And some of these are real and some are not.
These could all be real.
So this...
Do you want to listen or you want me to listen?
The cities are Seattle, Washington, Las Vegas, Connecticut as a statewide expansion, Martha's Vineyard, Nashville, and Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
They got a hub there.
Guys, we've been traveling since 8 in the morning. This is what we got for you today. Do you want to go first?
Yeah.
All right, go ahead. Who are you loving out of these cities and one state?
These five cities. I'm loving Seattle. I like the idea. I mean, obviously these Sonics were great. Great uniforms. Great team.
Fantastic organization. Shout out to David Locke.
Very fantastic organization. But I have no interest in following a team now from Seattle.
Okay.
What I mean, can you imagine what those games would be like? It'd just be Amazon. They'd be called the Seattle Amazons.
Nah, they'd be the
they'd be called the Bezos.
Thunder already said they'd sell them back all the Sonic stuff.
Doesn't matter. They'd be the Bezos.
All right. But you're loving this team for some reason.
I mean, I'm loving that they got the team back.
All right. So who are you marrying?
I'm marrying Martha's Vineyard. You know?
I can't be mad at that.
It's interesting. I don't know who can afford to go to games.
Rich history, I guess.
I don't know who can afford to go to games at home. But when they're on the road, it's classy.
How big is the stadium at the Martha's Vineyard team?
I mean, it's large.
Oh, it's a big stadium at Martha's Vineyard. All right. This, you're marrying this, and then you're getting a divorce because he's going to go broke.
No.
That's not how this works.
No, right. I've become accustomed to a certain lifestyle. So even if we do,
you get alimony from this expansion city. All right, who are you killing out of these cities?
I mean, I don't want to take down the whole state of Connecticut. I guess,
but you're working Connecticut.
So I'm going. I'm actually going Las Vegas.
Hmm.
No thanks.
Not a big gambler.
Gambling makes me so nervous. I hate it.
That's fair.
I won't buy a scratcher.
All right, so you're loving Seattle, marrying Martha's Vineyard, killing Vegas. We have a very similar one. I'm loving Martha's Vineyard.
Oh, all right.
What a fun weekend that would be.
It's a getaway.
Me, I'm going to watch the team for a weekend. It's nice.
Yeah.
We have we have fun. We know it's a weekend thing, though.
Definitely. You're wearing boat shoes.
I'm wearing Sperry's.
Yeah.
I'm wearing 2 polo shirts.
Oh, yeah.
Seersucker shorts.
Ooh.
Maybe.
Ooh.
I'm marrying.
Showing off a little leg. Yeah. You're really in love with this.
This is unsurprising. I'm marrying Seattle.
Yeah.
I used to go to Sonics games. I was born in Seattle. I used to go to Sonics games. God, I love the Sonics.
Shout out
to David Locke.
I want to as well. Like, I want to love that.
However, I will say the marriage will be rocky because there's no infrastructure in Seattle to support a team right now.
There's no infrastructure, and I just think that it's just a different crowd now. I feel like it'd be like kind of like Warriors games or something where like it wouldn't be affordable. No one could really go.
Yeah, that's fair. It's a loveless marriage.
Yeah.
But I'm staying with them. And then I'm killing Nashville.
Wow. Why is that?
I don't want to watch a team that like plays a bunch of country music in between stuff, play basketball. I think that feels weird.
Nashville seems like a fun city.
Never been. Don't want to go.
What if they were the Nashville Hot Chickens?
Too much neon. You get a lightning storm in there. The whole city blows up.
What if they were the Hot Chickens, though?
Do you get hot chicken at each game?
Every win.
No. Unless they're given the number one pick in a good draft.
And every loss, you get nuggets.
Oh, then yeah, I'm dead. Every so there's win, chicken either way.
Every win is chicken sandwich. Loss, you get nuggets.
Oh, yeah, then I mean, I'd still kill them. guys, thank you for listening to the Love, Marry, Kill segment. That was a good topic.
Yeah. Get at us with where you think a weird city would be for an expansion team.
So this episode will be coming out on Saturday. On Monday, we're going to be back for you guys. We're going to be recapping the Pistons and Raptors game. Hopefully those are a couple of fat dubs.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to be doing the Freshies, which is our weekly segment, talking about the new guys. Hopefully we have a different tune about Shea's playing time situation.
Oh, yeah. He's going to play 40 minutes, both games.
We're coming at you 5 days a week. Please subscribe on iTunes. Leave a review. Say something funny in there. We'll bring it up on the show.
Yeah, if it's hilarious, we'll bring it up.
Yeah, we'll say whatever you want. Just we'll sign a blank piece of paper. Put whatever you want. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Updike. Thanks you so much for tuning in, fans.